so much more than what we'd just shared. My fingers traced his tattoos, truth over one peck, trust over the other. The first time I'd seen them, I didn't know they were the things Link valued the most, the two things he never got growing up. I might not be able to give him I love you, but I could give him those two words, the same way he'd given them to me. The lights went out, and my flashlight wouldn't work. I left my phone in the studio. It was so dark, and it was like I was back there, seeing it all over again. I freaked. Link wrapped his arms around me and pulled me against him.
I'm so sorry. It was a trigger. And with everything that's been going on, it's completely understandable.
I miss her, I whispered. Him, too. Even though I should hate him. Link pulled back.
He's your dad. He made mistakes, but that doesn't erase all the good.
My throat constricted, but I managed to nod. I don't want to be scared anymore. Link's expression hardened, a coldness settling into his features.
I don't want you to be either. We're going to find this monster, and he's not going to hurt anyone else. Not ever again.
35. Lincoln. I wanted to wake up to lazy sex and make Arden breakfast in bed. Instead, I woke to loud, incessant knocking. Arden rolled over and pulled a pillow over her head. Make them go away, it's not even dawn. It was well past dawn, given the sunlight streaming in through the half-open curtains. But my girl was dramatic when it came to mornings. Glancing at the clock, I was relieved to see the power had come back on sometime during the night. I tugged the pillow off her head as the knocking continued. Where's your phone? Given everything that had happened over the past couple of weeks, checking her camera feeds wasn't a bad idea. Arden scowled at me, trying to take the pillow back. I don't know, in the studio, I think. Remember? If you ignore them, they'll go away. Or they'll break down the door because they think you've been kidnapped. Whatever. Arden pulled the covers over her head. Apparently, I was on my own. Swinging my legs over the side of the bed, I stood and crossed to my duffel in the corner. I found a pair of sweats and pulled them on, heading for the source of the knocking, Brutus hot on my heels. Coming, I yelled. Keep your pants on. Unlocking the door, I pulled it open to find Cope's annoyed face. That annoyance morphed into something more like anger as his gaze swept over me. Why are you answering my sister's door shirtless? Well, shit. Little Luca peeked around Cope, a look of confusion on his face.
Are you going swimming?
Brutus let out a happy bark and went to the boy as I fought not to laugh. Yeah, little dude, I'm going swimming.
I'll go with you,
Luca offered as he hugged the dog.
I love swimming.
Sutton, who was standing a step back, choked on a laugh. Can never go wrong with a little swimming. Cope whirled on his fiancée. This isn't funny. Sutton's turquoise eyes twinkled. I don't know. It's a little funny.
I'm missing something, Luca mumbled.
Why don't you guys come inside? I offered, gesturing them in. Cope stalked past me. I don't need you to invite me into my sister's house.
Jeez, Luca muttered. He's grumpy. Never knew he didn't like swimming that much.
I patted the boy on the shoulder. Me either. Sutton just giggled. Warrior, Cope growled.
You don't get to dictate what I laugh at, Hotshot, she called.
Cope grumbled something under his breath, just as a door slammed. Footsteps pounded down the hall, and a very rumpled-looking Arden appeared.
What the heck is going on?
Cope looked from his sister to me and back again, taking in her wrinkled tee and sleep shorts. That thunderous look took over again.
I feel like I should be asking you that question.
Arden crossed her arms and arched a brow.
Should you now?
Oh, hell. Cope needed to abort mission now. It didn't matter that he was still healing from a gunshot wound. Arden would kick his ass. Cope's shoulders straightened, and I didn't miss how much easier he was moving. I fly down to check on my sister because, he glanced at Luca, clearly not wanting to share what was going on, I missed her, and I find my best friend and boss in her house, half-dressed. Luca stared up at Cope.
He's going swimming. What you got against swimming? I thought you liked it.
Surprise lit Arden's features as Sutton stifled another giggle. Sutton wrapped an arm around Luca's shoulders.
Why don't we go make some scones for everyone? Maybe a snack will make Cope less grumpy,
Luca mumbled, motioning for Brutus to come with him. They moved toward the kitchen as Cope crossed into Arden's space.
What the hell is going on?
Oh, no you don't, Arden shot back. You do not get to come in here and act all overprotective big brother because you don't like who I have in my bed.
Cope made a gagging noise.
Dear God, stop. I do not need those mental images.
You're the one who asked, so that's just karma.
I moved into Arden's space and wrapped an arm around her, pulling her against my side. Dropping a kiss to her head, I whispered,
He's just worried about you.
Well, his caveman is showing, Arden whisper hissed. And the caveman is an asshole.
My lips twitched. Fucking cute.
I'm mad, not cute.
You can be both.
I gave her a quick kiss. But maybe you can do that after you spend some time with your brother since he came all this way. Arden sighed and looked back at Cope.
Are you okay? Your shoulder all right with the trip?
Cope's gaze ping-ponged between the two of us before landing back on Arden.
Okay, who are you and what did you do with my sister?
She's gotten agreeable, I said, humor lacing my tone. Arden glared up at me.
I have not.
Okay, agreeable when she doesn't get woken up before noon, I said, kissing her once more.
Why are you kissing Auntie Arden?
Luca called from the kitchen.
Yeah,
Cope said, a mock glare on his face.
Why are you kissing her?
I didn't think Cope or Luca would appreciate me saying because she tastes good, so I went with another truth.
Because she's my favorite.
Arden's gray-violet eyes softened as she looked up at me.
You're my favorite too, cowboy.
It might not be an I love you, but it was her version of it, and I'd take that and run. Luca's face screwed up.
But not more favorite than me, right?
Arden laughed, and it was the light and husky one. No one could be more favorite than you, but you haven't even hugged me yet.
I forgot!
Luca yelled, running from the kitchen into the living room. Arden caught him on the fly, hoisting him into the air, even though he was almost too big. She tickled his side, making him squeal and her laugh harder as she carried him toward the kitchen.
Hell, Cope whispered, closer to me now. You're gone for her, aren't you?
I didn't look at my friend. I couldn't tear my gaze from Arden. Only it wasn't Luca she held in my mind. It was our little one. A girl with her eyes and smile. I saw a whole future in that moment, a life playing out in that hazy mist between reality and imagination.
I've been gone for her from the moment she held that knife to my neck.
Cope cursed. I forced my gaze from her and looked at my friend, because he deserved my honesty. I wouldn't have gone there if she didn't mean something to me, and now she means everything.
Cope stared at me for a long moment, likely taking stock of every micro-expression on my face.
You'll keep an eye on her? I'll do whatever it takes to keep her safe. There was no doubt in those words, only complete certainty. Because if anyone tried to hurt a hair on Arden's head, I'd end them.
36. Arden.
Where do you think you're going?
Link asked as I stepped into the living room, finally dressed after a morning of my brother giving me the third degree. Thankfully, Luca and Sutton had managed to rein him in. Link sat in one of my overstuffed chairs, a tablet in his hands, and looking too hot for his own good. He'd changed earlier, after one too many of Cope's shirtless barbs. Link wore dark jeans, boots, and a worn Seattle Sparks t-shirt. No one would have pegged him as a tycoon now, and I loved the juxtaposition.
You keep looking at me like that, and the only place you're going is back to the bedroom.
Link growled. Heat flared between my legs. I didn't hate that idea, but I needed to get some things done first. I'm going to the collective. Link set the tablet down and pushed to his feet.
Why?
Because I need to check on things for the auction and show. After I'd finally grabbed my phone from the studio, I found more than a few worried texts from Farah, Isaiah, and Hannah, and some annoying ones from Denver.
Can't Denver do that? Or whoever owns the gallery space? Shouldn't they be helping?
I winced and then pointed at myself. Link's brows lifted.
You own the collective.
It wasn't a question, but I answered anyway. It was my first big purchase, other than Wanda.
Who the hell is Wanda?
Link asked, confusion lining his features. My truck.
Good name. Fits her.
Link moved into my space, his hand running over the side of my face.
Why wouldn't you just tell me you own the collective?
I shrugged. I don't tell many people. My family knows. Denver, Isaiah, Farah, and Hannah, but that's it, really. His roughened thumb stroked the line of my jaw.
Hates being the center of attention.
I made a face. People don't need to know it's me.
No, they don't. But I think what you've created is pretty damn amazing. And I bet the community programs were your brainchild.
My cheeks heated. I remembered when I'd gone to Denver with the idea. He'd thought it was a waste of time and money. I'd deflated but pushed on and was so glad I had. Because those programs filled my cup more than anything else. Link dropped his head, his lips sweeping across mine.
You're incredible.
Link, I whispered, trying not to squirm.
Okay, too much attention. Let's go to the gallery.
You don't, Link pinned me with a hard stare.
I go where you go.
That means I'm gonna ogle you. You'll just have to deal with it. Link barked out a laugh.
I think I can handle it, Vicious.
We made the trip into town in Link's Range Rover. I was shocked when he'd been okay with letting Brutus on the leather seats, but Link had just leveled me with that stare and said,
It's an SUV. I think it can handle a little dog hair.
But that was Link. He might have nice things, but he didn't worship at their altar the way my dad had. He enjoyed them, but didn't protect them at all costs. And even though business clearly gave Link a charge, he wasn't constantly looking for more, more, more. Link turned into a spot a block down from the collective. The town was already full to the brim with tourists milling about, but that wasn't a bad thing. Hopefully, one or two would make a purchase in the gallery. I hopped out of the SUV and moved to the back seat to hook up Brutus's leash and let him down. Link met me at the front of the vehicle, wrapping an arm around my shoulders. It would have felt like a completely normal outing if not for the squad car that had followed us into town and parked a couple of spots down. The deputy wasn't following us in, but he wanted to be close. That reminder of my studio and the rage had my stomach twisting, but I shoved it down. I wouldn't let the asshole win. I refused to live in fear.
You good?
Link asked as we walked toward the gallery. I looked up at him. I'm annoyed. His lips twitched.
Still mad at Cope?
Well, his overprotective alpha male ass is annoying. Link chuckled, the sound skating over me in a pleasant shiver.
I don't know about alpha male. Overprotective, yes. But I'm pretty sure he's just as protective of his brothers as his sisters.
I scowled at him. Link released me and held up both hands.
What did I say?
You had to go and make a good point. That made him laugh.
I'm so sorry. Never again will I make a good point.
That would be the gentlemanly thing to do, I huffed. Link grinned at me as he opened the door.
Baby, I'm a lot of things, but a gentleman isn't one of them.
A shiver of promise raced through me, and I was pretty sure my eyes dilated as memories of last night swirled through my mind. I stretched up onto my tiptoes to whisper in his ear. I don't know, cowboy. You let me come first. If that isn't the mark of a gentleman, I don't know what is.
Vicious. If you make me walk into this gallery with a heart on, I am going to spank your ass.
A fresh wave of heat swept through me as different images flashed in my mind.
You like that idea?
Link rasped, his eyes going hooded. My gaze cut to his, the hazel a darker green now. I think I do.
Gonna kill me,
he muttered. But we'll have fun on the way out, I said, a smile lacing my tone as I stepped into the collective. As I moved inside, it was to find Farrah standing there and fanning herself with a pamphlet about the gallery. Would you two ever consider posing naked together? I choked on a laugh. Farrah! What? She asked with a mock innocence. You're both hot as hell. We could do a whole show around it. She did a little jump. I've got it. Tonight. Mood lighting, wine, you two in the throes of passion, and me capturing it all.
As flattering as that is, I'm gonna have to go with no on that one.
Link said, fighting a grin. Farrah made a wailing face. You're raining on all my hottie-on-hottie dreams over here. I patted her shoulder. So sorry. Her expression shifted, concern filling it now. Are you okay? We heard someone messed with your studio. Trace was doing everything he could to keep the details under wraps. The story we were going with was that it was a break-in and some minor vandalism. Someone felt like being an asshole is all. Probably thought there was stuff they could sell in there, got mad when there wasn't. I lied. That's so scary, Hannah said, emerging from the office area with Denver in tow and looking worried. But Trace will get them. He always does. Denver's expression was hard to read, but I saw the hint of a pout on his mouth.
You didn't think I might want to know about this? That it's something I should know about?
I bristled at that, and I wasn't alone. Link stepped up to my side, his already large frame somehow seeming more massive.
And why would that be?
Anger flashed in Denver's brown eyes.
She's my friend.
He paused for a moment, then continued.
And what if pieces for the auction and show were damaged? I'd need to know immediately.
There it was. The truth. Denver didn't give a damn about me. He just wanted more art. How had it come to this? We'd been friends for years, had grown up in the art world together in many ways. But it had been so much more. We'd cared about each other's wins and consoled the losses. Now I was nothing more than a cash machine to him. God, that sucked. I lifted my chin and met Denver's stare. You already have all my pieces for the auction. Denver's jaw worked back and forth.
I'd still need to know about damage to other pieces.
Because you might not have enough to sell? I challenged. A muscle fluttered in his cheek.
It's my job to manage your inventory, to know what's coming on the market and—
No, I clipped. It's not. It's your job to manage the collective and the pieces that come into the gallery. You don't get to dictate what I'm giving you or when. You don't even get to know what I'm working on because my art is just that. Mine. You can't control my creative process. The room went silent for a moment. Hannah's gaze ping-ponged between us as she wrung her hands. Fighting and awkwardness were not her things. Farrah, on the other hand, loved moments of honesty. She started clapping.
Preach it, sister. No one owns you.
Denver sent her a glare that should have had her taking a step back, but didn't.
I'd watch it, Farrah. I'm the one in charge of pushing your stuff, too.
She just rolled her eyes unfazed. Let's be real, Denny boy. You don't put any effort into our stuff. Arden has always been your prize show pony. Surprise streaked through me. Is that really what she thought? What they all thought? I sought out Hannah, whose gaze dropped to the floor as she tugged her lip between her teeth. She thought the same. Hell. I didn't follow much of what Denver did on the private side. The gallery space made enough to keep the building afloat, and that was all I cared about. But my lack of involvement had hurt the people I cared about. I really would have to fire Denver, which would hurt like hell. Denver's mouth twisted into what almost looked like a snarl.
It's not my fault your work just isn't quite up to snuff.
Hannah's head snapped up, and I saw hurt blazing in her hazel eyes. Denver, she whispered. He just rolled his eyes. Your watercolors are fine, but nothing that will spark real excitement in the art world. Denver turned to Farah. And your mixed media is hit or miss at best. Without consistency, you'll never carry a show on your own. He flicked those ridiculous feathers in his hair over one shoulder. At least Isaiah has something to say. It might be one note, but that's better than nothing. You're fired. The words were out of my mouth before I could stop them. Denver's head whipped around in my direction. You can't fire me. Can't I? I asked, as fury coursed through me. A good portion of that rage was pointed directly at Denver, but the rest was squarely on me. Because I hadn't seen what was going on. Hadn't seen it because I wasn't paying attention.
You need me, Denver hissed.
Link scoffed.
Does she? Arden has created something more special than you could ever dream of. What have you done, other than get in her way?
Denver's eyes narrowed.
Oh, and you're an expert on that now because you're fucking her?
Oh, shit. Link stalked forward.
I'm giving you that one because you just had your ass handed to you, and with your lack of professionalism, I doubt you'll be getting another job anytime soon. But if you ever talk about Arden like that in front of me again, I will break your nose before you can blink. Then I'll take great pleasure in making sure every company you apply for a job with from now on knows exactly how shitty of an employee you are.
Denver opened his mouth, but Farah cut him off. Oh, I wouldn't, Danny boy. Link here has the reach to ruin you. Denver snapped his mouth closed, rage still swirling in his expression. Get your stuff, I said quietly, a heaviness taking over.
You're seriously doing this?
He asked, delusional shock filling his words. What other choice did you give me? I shot back. The collective is supposed to be about coming together to create something better than any of us could do alone. But you've been undermining that at every turn, and I've been too checked out to see it.
I wasn't. Get your stuff,
I clipped. I didn't want to hear his excuses.
Or I can help you.
Link ground out. I did not want to see what that would look like. Brutus let out a low growl at my side as if to say, move it. Denver stomped toward the office area and grabbed some papers and his laptop before picking up a plant from the desk and a massive amount of snacks he'd probably bought with the company credit card. He looked ridiculous as he tried to move toward the front door.
Here, let me get that for you,
Link offered in a sickly sweet voice.
Fuck off,
Denver muttered as he stalked past.
Don't let the door hit you on the way out, Farah called.
The door shut, and we all stared at each other for a long moment. I was about to speak when a ring cut through the quiet. Link pulled his phone out and frowned.
It's my second in command.
Take it, I urged.
You sure?
Of course. Link answered, heading out the door as Isaiah strode in, looking more than a little rumpled. His clothes were wrinkled, his eyes red, and his hair messy. He looked around the room.
What the hell crawled up Den's ass?
Farah's lips twitched.
Pretty sure that was Arden.
I scrunched up my nose. Gross.
No one wants up there, but I am into a little ass play.
Isaiah said, giving me a wink. Farah laughed.
That what you were up to last night? Don't think I haven't noticed you're wearing the same clothes as yesterday.
Isaiah grinned at her.
If I could remember what I did last night, I would be happy to share it with my favorite dirty bird.
I'm gonna get back to my painting, Hannah said, her voice small. Wait, I said quickly. I'm so sorry. I didn't know Den wasn't pulling his weight for you guys. I promise I'll find something better. Not your fault, she said quickly.
It's not, really, Farah echoed. Douchey Denny is his own problem.
I still should have caught it, and I'd keep kicking myself about that for a while to come.
Is someone going to fill me in?
Isaiah asked.
I think that's a job for Arden. Hannah and I gotta work on our mediocre art.
Farah said, wrapping an arm around Hannah and leading her toward the studio spaces. I winced. It was Farah's way to make a joke out of everything, but that one cut. A hand landed on my shoulder.
Artie, what the hell happened?
I looked up into Isaiah's warm, understanding eyes. I fucked up.
37. Lincoln.
I'm sorry to bother you, Nina said across the line. I know you've got a lot going on.
That doesn't mean I'm not available if you need me, I said, stepping into the small garden in front of the collective. It was clear that an artist had designed it. The narrow stone pathway formed an intricate design as flowers sprouted all around, leading to a mosaic bench in the center.
It's your dad.
I stiffened, my hand tightening around my phone. Is he going for another of our potentials? We'd locked down information even more after what had happened with Ice Edge, but it sometimes felt like my father had eyes everywhere.
Not anyone we're considering.
Nina paused.
I'm pretty sure he's going after the Sparks.
Everything in me stilled. My father hated that I owned a hockey team. Just like he hated that I'd played the sport in high school. It was beneath him. If I wanted to play a sport, he expected it to be from his list of approved endeavors. Tennis, golf. He might have even been okay with lacrosse. He said the violence of the game was beneath our station. But at least that was honest. Philip Pierce's violence was far more deceptive, a true snake in the grass. He would simply place the dominoes strategically and watch them fall, just like he had with my mom. What do you know? My voice was so tight I barely recognized it.
I'm sorry, Link,
Nina said softly. Her gentleness made it worse, but I battled not to bite her head off. Not your fault, just tell me. She knew I needed her to rip off the Band-Aid. In a flash, she slipped into unemotional territory, her business mode activating. I've gotten word from three different sources that your father is having some careful conversations with strategically placed individuals. Who? I ground out. I've received confirmation of three specifics, still working on the rest. Brent Lucy in substance testing, Carl Owens on the board of governors for the league, and Ewan Maxwell. It got worse and worse with each name. Brent being up our asses with testing would be annoying, but I trusted my guys to play it clean. We made it clear there'd be no tolerance for anything less. Carl was concerning because they could open an investigation if they had falsified proof that I was mishandling the team in some way. But Ewan was a knife to the back. He was one of the longest-standing members of the Sparks board of directors. As far as I knew, we had a good relationship. He wanted to play things a little safer, but we usually met in the middle. The fact that he hadn't shared that my father had contacted him was a betrayal, and it could be more. The start of a move to oust me as the team's owner, because it was impossible to lead a team if no one believed in your leadership. I want a full list, I clipped into the phone, and then I want to talk strategy.
It might be time to go on the offensive. If you don't fight back, he'll never stop,
Nina said quietly. It was like a playground bully who wanted you to run or fight back. I kept thinking the best course of action was to simply ignore him, but maybe I was wrong. I need to think about it. Give me a day or two. The best business decisions were never made in the heat of anger or excitement, and they sure as hell weren't made with ego in mind. But the Sparks? That was my favorite company, because it was so much more. It was a brotherhood, and I hated my father even more for trying to ruin that.
Okay, Nina said. I'll get to work.
Thank you. I hung up before she could ask if I was okay, because I didn't want to lie to my partner and friend. Instead, I shoved my phone into my pocket and raked a hand through my hair, tugging hard on the strands.
That bad?
I turned at the sound of Arden's voice, all smoky care. Hey, you okay? She made a tisking noise.
You first.
It's nothing.
Link, you really want to do this? Then it's give and take, both of us.
You just fired your friend, and I can hold that and whatever you're about to tell me. I sighed and pulled her into me, inhaling the scent of fresh cherries and letting it wash away the taint of my father. We think my dad's making a play for the Sparks. Arden reeled back, pulling herself from my hold and taking that scent of cherries with her.
What?
I nodded, laying the groundwork in a variety of ways, just like he always does. Arden's brows furrowed.
He's done this before?
I lowered myself to the mosaic bench, dropping my head and pinching the bridge of my nose. I didn't know how to explain it. Even coming from someone who'd lived through it all, it sounded unhinged. The scent of cherries returned as Arden sat, moving in close. She stroked a hand across my back in soothing circles, the kind of comfort I hadn't gotten in well over a decade.
I'm here.
Such a gentle promise, but grounded too, just like Arden. My father has a need for dominance in all things. Arden didn't say a word, just kept up those circles. With every hobby I had as a child, he had to show he was better, or that the activity was dumb. Everything from building model rockets to playing piano. Countless memories swirled in my mind. Him accusing my mom of coddling me when she praised a painting I'd brought her. Stepping in during a piano lesson to show me how it was really done. I hadn't even realized that I'd started hiding the things I loved most from him in self-preservation. As I got older and saw who he really was, I pulled away. I went on.
I bet he didn't like that.
My lips twitched. No. My fingers gripped my knees, digging in. My first serious relationship, my sophomore year of college, I got an envelope by courier 2 weeks before we were supposed to move in together. Photos of him fucking her. Arden sucked in a breath.
Link!
He always wants to take everything I care about. Won't be happy until I come home and toe the line. Let him control every last thing in my life.
And that's what he does to Ellie, too, isn't it?
Arden asked softly. I nodded, misery sweeping over me. It's a little less overt with her, more strategic. But he knows I already know exactly who he is, so he doesn't hide it. I think he actually gets a thrill out of me knowing. Arden took my hand, lifted it from my knee, and slid one of hers beneath it while covering it with the other.
It sounds like he's sick.
I was sure he was. People didn't become that way in a vacuum. Maybe it was how my grandfather had been with him, but I wasn't sure the reason mattered anymore. Sometimes it feels like it'll never end. I keep thinking if I ignore him long enough, he'll just stop and let me live my life. But it never ends. Arden's fingers tightened on mine.
Think he'd accept my challenge for a jiu-jitsu match?
That startled a laugh out of me. Gonna take him down for me?
Oh, I'd love to. Maybe go for a nice castration at the end.
My fingers curled, pulling our hands even tighter together. Love you, Vicious. A flash of panic flared in her eyes, but she fought it back.
I talk about castrating your father, and you tell me you love me?
Well, you do say the sweetest things. Arden let out a soft laugh before sobering.
What can I do?
I don't think there is anything to do until I have more information.
You'll fight it, though?
She asked, and I didn't miss the hint of hope in her voice. I'll fight it. I just don't want to stoop to his level in the process.
Hey.
Arden pulled our hands toward her, my attention along with them.
You won't. You just need to remember that fighting him doesn't mean you have to play his game. Just like a match. You don't let your opponent force you into their game. You keep playing your own. But that doesn't mean you don't fight back.
You're wise. You know that? She leaned in, her lips brushing mine.
Damn straight. And I can't wait to watch you kick his ass.
I barked out a laugh. My vicious girl. Arden stood, pulling me with her. Not that it was much of a battle. I'd go anywhere with her.
Come on, cowboy,
she said, a smile playing on her face.
I'm taking you somewhere.
38. Arden.
You want me to get on this thing?
The skepticism in Link's voice had me biting back a chuckle. It's not a thing, it's a horse, and her name is Stardust.
His gaze swept over the mare, lingering on the saddle and pack.
And what about me breaking my neck makes you think it will help me feel better?
I couldn't hold back the laugh this time. Stardust is as steady as they come. She won't spook, even if we come across a cougar. Link stilled, staring at me like I had two heads.
I don't think getting mauled by a cougar is going to help either.
I grinned back at him as I tightened the cinch on Whiskey's saddle. Never ridden a horse before? I thought you were a secret cowboy. Link moved toward Stardust's head, letting her sniff his open palm before he stroked her face. There was an ease about the movement that was at odds with his earlier apprehension, which spoke of being around these animals before.
My mom used to take me,
he said quietly. My gut twisted as guilt swept in. This might have been a big misstep. We don't have to.
No,
Link said, cutting me off.
It'll be good. I think both of us could use a little time away.
He was right. Just a few days of having deputies trailing me every time I left the property and being perched outside my house and studio made me feel like I was suffocating. I could only imagine how Link felt. It was as if his father had been tracking his every move for years. I patted Whiskey and moved into Link's space, leaning in and brushing my mouth across his. A night under the stars will do us both some good. One corner of Link's mouth kicked up.
I wouldn't mind sharing a tent with you.
What about a sleeping bag?
Even better.
Link lowered his head and took my mouth in a kiss that tipped hotter as his tongue stroked mine. Stardust bumped Link's back, forcing him to break the kiss. He turned, eyeing the mare.
It's not bad enough that I have one cock block. Now I have two.
Brutus let out a soft bark as if he understood exactly what Link had accused him of. I scratched between Stardust's ears where she loved it the most. My girl's just ready to hit the trail.
And now I have to hit it with a hard-on,
Link muttered. Have fun with that, I sing-songed. We mounted and headed for the trails that would lead us into Forest Service land. It was one of the things I loved about Cope's property. There was no need to trailer the horses somewhere to ride. I could just take off and go. But I was still cautious. Emergency provisions, sat phone, extra supplies, rifle, just in case. And Trace would have lost his mind if I didn't give him our exact route and camping spot. It had been hard enough to get him to agree to the trip in the first place. Safety first with him, always. Even before someone had vandalized my property. But I understood why. When you grew up in situations where safety was the last thought, it changed you. And in some ways, law and order had become the crutch Trace held on to, as though he couldn't be hurt again if he never colored outside the lines. I guessed we all had things we thought would keep us safe and away from any more pain. But as I looked over at Link, I knew those things were a lie, because it only took one person crashing into your life to destroy every last wall you'd put up. Icy claws of panic dug into my chest, but I shoved the sensation down. Instead, I focused on the man opposite me, the one who'd been there for me in all my darkest moments lately. I needed to do the same for him, had to give him back a little of what he'd given me.
It's so peaceful here,
Link said, his eyes shaded by a Seattle Sparks ball cap. My gaze swept the high desert landscape, taking in the mixture of sage-filled plains and thick forests, all leading to Castle Rock and the Monarch Mountains. The vastness of it always puts my problems in perspective. He glanced over at me as Brutus ran ahead of the horses to sniff the trail.
You trying to give me that perspective?
I shrugged. Maybe. Or escape. A little reprieve to gather your strength to fight another day. A muscle in Link's jaw ticked.
I'm not sure he's someone I can ever defeat.
Gotta find his weak spot, same as sparring.
Sometimes I don't think he has one.
I stared at Link for a moment, trusting that Whiskey would keep us on the path. I know he does. Link's gaze cut back to me, surprise lighting there. He doesn't realize what's right in front of him. The incredible son, the amazing daughter. He's missing out on what he has in his quest for more. He can never take in everything that's been given to him because he's too blinded by trying to have it all. Link's throat worked as he swallowed.
I don't want to be like him.
Hell. I guided Whiskey towards Stardust, close enough that I could reach out and take Link's hand. You never could be. You're never blind to the world around you, never turn away from someone who's hurting. Link didn't look convinced. You got Cope in with the best doctors and rehab specialists, and look how much better he's doing already.
Maybe I just wanted my star player back.
Link challenged. I rolled my eyes. What about all you've done for me? Stepping in, even when I shoved you away? Link's gaze roamed over my face, feeling like a featherlight touch of fingertips.
Maybe I just wanted to get laid.
One corner of my mouth kicked up. I guess that worked out well for you.
I guess it did.
Link said, the dark green in his eyes flashing a little brighter. You can't hide from me, cowboy. I see you. I see how much you care. You fight for the underdog every single time. The company that needs extra support. The sports team that was on an epic losing streak until you turned it around. Even paying the most attention to the quietest kid at art camp.
Gracie?
Link asked. Gracie. I squeezed his fingers. You'll never be your father because you're uniquely you. You took all his ugliness and turned it into beauty, like a living sculpture. So damn breathtaking.
Vicious?
Yeah, cowboy.
You say stuff like that, and I'm gonna need to fuck you. And the only thing that's around here are tumbleweeds and rocks. That does not sound pleasant. So I'm gonna need you to stop being so amazing.
My mouth stretched into a wide smile. I'll try my best, but amazing is kind of my default setting. Link barked out a laugh.
Damn if that isn't true.
The warmth of it all slid through me. Unfortunately, fast on its heels came panic. But I did what I always did, and shoved that shit down.
39. Lincoln. Pouring water into makeshift troughs for the horses, my muscles screamed in protest. I was in damn good shape, but apparently not the sort of shape I needed for riding. I set the jug down and attempted a stretch, even though my muscles were not pleased with me. As I fought through the discomfort, I really took in our surroundings. I'd been many places in my life, but I'd never seen one as beautiful as this. It was a hidden gem, tucked away from prying eyes by a dip in the landscape. The spot was nestled between Castle Rock and the Monarch Mountains, and if I thought my new property had good views, it had nothing on this campsite. It was as if both rock formations towered over us, trees bordering us on the north side and meadows on the south. A creek that gathered in a little dip ran through the landscape, forming the world's most perfect swimming hole, and the quiet. It was a silence I'd never known before. Nothing but the sounds of the horses getting settled and the breeze rustling tree branches. Perfect. But none of it was as perfect as the woman standing in the middle of our campsite, wind lifting mahogany strands of hair as she scratched Brutus's ears. When she straightened, those tendrils swirled around her, creating their own work of art. She moved toward the swimming hole, kicking off her boots as she went. I had no choice but to follow. It was as if she had woven some sort of spell around me. Arden sat, rolled up her jeans, and sank her feet into the water. She tipped her face up to the sun, the rays making the apples of her cheeks glow. I couldn't resist. I leaned over and pressed my mouth to hers. Arden's eyes opened, taking me in as I kissed her, not missing a moment. "Thank you for this," I whispered against her lips. Something passed over her face, but it was gone before I could pin it down. "It's my favorite place," Arden said, turning her focus to the horizon. I lowered myself to the bank of the swimming hole, then pulled off my own boots and slid my feet into the cold water. "I can see why. Sometimes I come for a week, bring my sketch pad and load one of the horses with supplies. I tried not to think about Arden out here all alone, or imagine all the things that could go wrong. I bet you could create a lot of beauty out here. A small smile played on her lips. It definitely fills my bucket, and Brutus loves it. I glanced over my shoulder to find Brutus passed out on one of the saddle blankets. He'd practically run the whole way here, so I could only imagine how tired he was. A flicker of movement caught my eye. A dragonfly skimmed along the water and then floated up to rest on Arden's knee. Soft wonder filled her expression as she took in the creature that was a riot of color, pink, blue, and teal.
Well, aren't you beautiful?
In some cultures, they're supposed to bring good luck, I said quietly, not wanting to frighten it off. That or be a sign of rebirth. Arden's gaze flicked to me, emotion swirling there.
Rebirth.
Her focus moved back to the dragonfly still resting on her knee.
Feels like I've been working toward that forever.
Maybe she's telling you that you're already there. Arden watched as the dragonfly took flight again, dipping and rolling before taking off into the wilderness.
Maybe she is.
Her focus turned back to me, a smile playing on her lips.
This place really is magic.
It is. I glanced around at the beauty engulfing us. I wonder what trails I'll have off my property. You know, I think you can see it from up here, I said, turning and squinting into the distance.
Really?
Arden turned, following my line of sight. See the creek that runs along the base of the mountains?
Damn, cowboy, you got yourself a spot.
I pulled out my phone and tapped my photos. I knew I wouldn't have any service, but I'd already downloaded what I wanted to show her. Arden leaned over and sucked in a breath.
Link.
This is the first sketch of the exterior. Your brother has a gift.
He does.
Her gaze roamed the sketch, seeming to memorize every detail. Anything you'd do differently? I knew I'd be lying to myself if I said I asked for any other reason than I hoped like hell Arden would be spending a lot of time there.
It's perfect. The way it's just gonna settle at the base of the peaks. The way it's gonna meld with the golden grasses. I'm a little jealous, if I'm honest.
I grinned, locking my phone and setting it on the bank. If you're really nice, I'll let you come visit. She shifted slightly, her unease showing for the briefest moment.
What is it?
She shook her head, strands of her hair lifting in the breeze again.
Nothing.
Vicious, I growled. She bit the corner of her lip.
How often are you going to use that house? Cope said it was just a vacation home.
I was an idiot. I hadn't once considered that Arden might think our situation had an expiration date. Hadn't thought she might need a little reassurance. My hand slid along her jaw, and I tilted her face toward mine. I can do my job from anywhere. I may have to fly to Seattle for meetings every couple of weeks, but I can live anywhere. Arden was quiet for a moment, those gray violet eyes searching mine.
Where do you want to live?
I'd live in that tiny-ass tent if that's where you were. Her berry-stained lips parted on a sharp inhale.
Think, you don't know that. You barely know me. I'm grumpy half the time, finicky about my space and art, and not exactly good at normal. You can't say that.
My hand shifted, sliding into her hair and holding tight. You think I don't know I need to duck and cover if you get woken up before 10, or that every time I get a little bit closer you're going to try to shove me away? I know, Vicious, and I'm still here. My fingers tightened further, making sure she paid attention. But you're so much more than that. You're not afraid to tell me the truth. You see beyond the surface into everything beneath. You make me feel not alone for the first time in years. And you make me want to reach for better, the kind of more that's all about being who you truly are. Arden's eyes glistened with unshed tears.
That scares me.
I know, baby. I whispered, dropping my forehead to hers. But you're still here.
I'm still here.
She let out a long, shuddering breath.
Plus, leaving you unprotected in the wilderness would be rude.
I barked out a laugh as I released her. That's very true. I need you and your switchblade to keep me safe. Arden grinned at me.
Damn straight.
How about some bourbon before dinner? I asked.
I wouldn't say no.
Good. I pushed to my feet and headed for where we'd set up the drinks near a tree where we'd hoist our bear-proof container tonight. I rifled through the bottles of water and a few sodas until I found it. We didn't have ice, but we could set the glasses in the water. That'd cool it down quickly. Pouring two healthy servings, I turned to head back and froze. Arden was nowhere to be seen. Not on the shore, not in the distance, not in camp. My pulse picked up speed as blood roared in my ears. Where the hell was she? And that's when I saw it. The pile of clothes next to the boots on the shore. A second later, a dark head of hair burst from the water's surface, sending droplets flying. Arden looked like someone who didn't have a care in the world as she treaded water in the center of the swimming hole. I, on the other hand, had just lost 10 years of my life. I stalked toward the water. What the hell are you thinking? Arden's eyes widened in surprise.
I was thinking I was hot and it was the perfect time for a swim.
That water is barely above freezing, I shot back.
Don't be dramatic.
My eyes narrowed on her as I set the drinks down. Dramatic, because I don't want you to get hypothermia? That's when I zeroed in on her bare shoulders. What are you wearing in there? Arden tried to swallow her laugh, but was only half successful.
What do you think I'm wearing, cowboy?
Fucking hell. Just the mental image, the promise of what lay under the surface had my dick stiffening. Vicious, out of the water. Those gray violet eyes danced. It was the sort of mischief I hadn't seen from Arden in weeks, and damn, it was good to see. She flipped to her back, her perfect breasts breaking the surface of the water.
What are you going to do about it?
That challenge. The fire. My dick pressed harder against my zipper. Spank that ass for scaring the hell out of me. Arden's eyes flashed. A different kind of fire in them now. She flipped back to her stomach and swam toward me.
That sounds a hell of a lot more like a promise than a threat.
Everything in me tightened at the pure temptation swimming toward me. Why don't you come out of the water and find out? Her gaze was liquid purple now as she swam closer to shore. She didn't stand, not yet. She seemed to be weighing her options and power moves. And it was hot as hell watching that beautiful brain work. Arden's hands balanced on the sandy bottom. She was close enough now that I could see all of her, and the globes of her ass peeked out of the water. My hands fisted around nothing, wanting to touch her so badly. She saw the shift, and that's when she stood, seeing that I was at my breaking point. It wasn't slow or timid, because that wasn't Arden. She stood in one fluid movement, beauty in motion. There was no bashfulness or hiding, because that wasn't her either. She stood in full ownership of her body as the water slid down her in what seemed like endless rivulets. Her hair slicked around the perfect breasts my hands ached to palm as those streams continued their journey, coasting down her stomach toward the tiniest dusting of hair at the apex of her thighs. Thighs that were tan, curved with lean muscle, and dipped into calves painted the same. But it was her face that held me rapt. Those lips I knew tasted like cherries, eyes that always welcomed me home, ones I could lose myself in forever. But now wasn't the time for tender. My girl wanted to play, and I always gave her what she wanted. On your knees.
40. Arden. The cold water had already tightened my nipples to the point of pain. But at Link's husky command, they twisted so tight my knees nearly buckled. Link's eyes darkened, the green turning stormy, practically swallowing the gold altogether, like a lake in the middle of a hurricane.
I said, on your knees, Vicious.
A shiver racked me, but it wasn't one of dread, it was one of promise. My mouth curved. Shouldn't you have to work for it a little harder? Link took one step and then another, his powerful thighs straining against his jeans.
You don't think watching you sit on that horse for hours wasn't torture enough? Watching those breasts move with each step, staring at those thighs clenching.
My lips parted on an intake of breath.
But you love knowing you torture me, don't you?
My mouth curved. Maybe. Link shook his head as he stepped closer, venturing into the water and not giving a damn that the bottoms of his jeans were getting soaked. He moved so slowly that I wasn't prepared when he struck with the speed of a viper, his hand sliding into my hair and pulling on the strands so my head was tipped back and my neck exposed. Then his mouth was there, tongue running down the column of my throat.
You live to torture me. It's only fitting that I return the favor.
I could barely suck in a breath before Link was moving again. He took me with him this time. I stumbled, trying to keep up with him, and it was just the off-balance upper hand Link needed. He dropped to the log near the shore, taking me with him, and folding me over his lap, where I landed with an oomph. The air fled my lungs through force and excitement. My thighs pressed together as the air swirled against my overheated skin. There was no warning before his hand came down hard on my ass cheek. A sting, then heat. Heat that pooled and spread. My thighs started to clench again, but Link wrapped my hair around his hand, pulling hard as he made a tisking noise.
No relief for you. Not yet. A little torture before your pleasure.
My lips parted, a pant leaving them as wetness gathered between my thighs.
That's my girl.
Link praised, his hand ghosting over the globe of my ass, coaxing a little more from that heat.
But you still have to pay for making me suffer through 3 hours of riding with a goddamned hard-on.
A soft giggle left my lips. Link's hand tightened in my hair.
Are you laughing at me?
Before I could answer, his hand came down again, a little harder this time. My body bowed. The flicker of pain, the rush of heat, it was all so good I couldn't help the moan that slipped from my lips. Link's hand coasted over my ass to stroke between my thighs.
Fuck, you love it. Pussy is weeping already.
I shuddered against him. Link.
So beautiful when she begs.
He slid two fingers inside me. My back arched as I pushed against him, so damn desperate for more. Those fingers were gone in a flash, and Link's palm came down in another strike.
My girl's greedy too, always ready to take what she wants, what she needs. But right now you're going to take what I give you.
My head turned as I cast furious eyes on him. Gonna give you blue balls if you're not careful. Link laughed, the sound full of mischief and heat.
You think I'm not already walking around in that permanent state because of you?
My mouth curved, the power of that statement coursing through me. Link's eyes hooded.
You love that. Live to torture me. My vicious girl.
Those fingers were back, three this time, gliding in and out. I whimpered. They felt so damn good, but it wasn't quite enough. I pushed into Link's hand, needing deeper, more. My walls fluttered with the briefest shudder on the way to the edge. Then Link's hand was gone. I let out a sound of protest, and his palm came down on my ass again. It was almost enough to send me over the edge, the pleasure and pain. Link gave me both. He stood in a flash, bringing me with him as he released his hold on my hair.
Hands on the tree,
he growled. It was only two steps to the thick trunk, but each one had my skin burning hotter, the air feeling like a snowstorm in comparison. I didn't look back as my palms pressed against the rough bark, but I heard Link, the sound of his zipper like a cannon in the quiet, the rustling of his clothes until his big body curved around mine. Link's hand twisted in my hair again, pulling my head back.
Tell me I can take you.
My core clenched as I pushed my ass against him. Take me. Link slid his tip along my slit, teasing up to my clit until I whimpered again. He moved back to my opening, and that hand fisted my hair as he slammed into me. The force of it had my eyes watering and my mouth falling open. It was nothing but pure power and sensation. Nothing but everything Link could give me. The rough bark dug into my palms as he took me, but I didn't give him supremacy. I gave as good as I got. Met him thrust for thrust. Because the thing about me and Link was that it was always a battle. We were never afraid to fight for what we wanted. And that made it beautiful. The honesty. Link muttered something nonsensical as he hit a spot that had light dancing in front of my vision. Those fingers tightened in my hair.
Need you with me. Always with me.
I'm with you. The words were punctuated by gasps, my lungs stealing all the air they could get.
Not close enough.
Link gritted out.
Finger on your clit. Find it with me.
My body obeyed without my brain stopping to consider the concession. One hand dropped from the tree and slid between my thighs. I let out a curse at the first sensation of my finger circling that bundle of nerves.
That's it. So perfect.
Link praised. My body sparked at his words.
Tease it. Closer.
He ordered. Yet again, I obeyed. My body shuddered as sparks lit beneath my skin. Link picked up speed, powering into me until I was all but lost.
Fight for it.
Link growled.
I know my vicious girl battles like no one else. Fight for it, with me.
And I knew he meant more than an orgasm. He meant he wanted me to fight for us, to make this something real, something that could mean forever. Terror swept through me, but I didn't stop fighting because he was with me. My fingers circled tighter, sweeping across that most sensitive flesh and sending me spiraling. It wasn't a light and airy fall. It was a violent plummet. The orgasm racked my body with a fury that took us both down together in beautiful agony. Link cursed as he emptied into me, lengthening the fall with each thrust, but he never left me. We fell together, and as his forehead dropped to my shoulder, his breathing heavy, I felt all of him.
Like nothing else, you and me. Like I can be whoever I need to. And you'll take me just as I am.
He whispered hoarsely. My throat constricted. I know, I croaked. Because I felt the exact same way. And it scared the hell out of me.
Do we have to leave?
Link asked, pouting like a little kid as late morning sun rays cast shadows over his face. I couldn't help but chuckle. We don't have to, but I think we'll be hungry by tonight, I said, as I tightened the strap on the saddlebag. But the truth was, leaving was the last thing I wanted to do.
Can't have my girl getting hangry on me.
Link stuffed the last of our camp's trash into the bag we were packing up. I crossed to where we'd set up camp, bending to check my pack. Satellite phone, first aid kit, snacks for the trip back, plenty of water. You definitely do not want that, I said with a chuckle. Link moved into my space and wrapped his arms around me.
Thank you for giving me this, for knowing me well enough to give me exactly what I needed.
That foreign feeling in my chest shifted again. I wish I could really fix it. Link brushed the hair from my face.
Well, you did offer to challenge my dad to a fight to the death. That's good enough for me.
My lips twitched. I'd take his ass down.
I have no doubt.
Link gave me a quick kiss and then released me. I bent to lift the pack just as a crack sounded. It was almost like a tree branch snapping in the wind. Only there was no wind today. My brain tried to put the pieces together, reason out what it was. When Link's body hit mine full force, just as another crack sounded. And that's when I registered the sound. Gunshot.
41. Lincoln. I hit Arden like a linebacker taking down a running back, the force of it sending a sound of protest out of her. Or was it pain? Panic swept through me. Was she hit, hurt, something worse? I kept her covered as another shot rang out. One of the horses whinnied, something snapped, and then Whiskey was running in the direction.